Welcome to another edition of What's Good on MyFM. Bob Perot with you. Very pleased to have with me today Dr. Lena Lee, Deputy Medical Officer of Health with the Southeast Health Unit. Hello, Dr. Lee.
Hello,
Good to have you here. And Andrew Dunn, a returning guest as well, Senior Public Health Inspector with Public Health. Hello, sir.
hello to you. Thank you.
Well, you know what? It's snowing today, but the warmer season is coming, and that means that we need to be prepared for just about anything, including ticks. So, Dr. Lee, let's talk ticks. Will we notice that ticks are becoming active soon?
When the temperatures rise above 4 degrees Celsius consistently for a couple of days in a row, ticks do become active. They sort of brush off their winter state and start crawling around. And we're definitely getting to that season where we're seeing that, right? And we'll be seeing that even more so imminent. And so we know ticks are going to be out and about in our region. We also know that Lyme disease is highly prevalent throughout the region, and that black-legged ticks are the ticks that are the carriers of Lyme disease, that bacteria, and as well as other pathogens that can cause illness in humans. So anaplasmosis and babesiosis are also passed on through these black-legged ticks from a bite from a tick. So they're not new to the region. Certainly, I think pretty much everyone in our region is going to be familiar with Lyme disease. Anaplasmosis and babesiosis have been around in our region as well, but they've just not been reportable to the health unit and not frequently seen. But we know is a potential growing risk, not just for the Southeast Health Unit region, but across Ontario as well. It's really important to know that just looking at a tick, you have no idea if it has any of these pathogens, and is a risk to your health.
Andrew, what do we need to know about avoiding tick bites?
Well, first of all, we live in a rural area, beautiful rural area, so we don't want to avoid going outside. That's very important, but we want to be careful when we go outside and be cognizant that we are sharing the environment with these ticks. So when you're outside doing your gardening, going for a hike, cleaning up the leaf litter in your yard, we just want to be aware of these things. As Dr. Lee said, you can't tell by looking at a tick whether it's positive or not. So if a tick's been on you, there's a chance that it could bite you, and there's a chance that it could actually be a positive tick. As Dr. Lee also said, it's only the black-legged ticks that were that carry disease. So we have numerous types of ticks in the area, black-legged, but we also have dog ticks and wood ticks. We have information on our website, if you do find a tick on your body, that you can compare photos to see what type of tick actually was on you. There's also a great little website. It's called www. etick.ca, where you can actually submit a photo of your tick and have it identified. Like I say, we still want to go outside and enjoy the outdoors. But because these diseases, for the most part, are treatable and people get over them, they can be quite serious too. So it remains important to get this message out and for people to be aware and take precautions.
So, can you give us some tips for reducing our risk of getting bitten by a tick then, Andrew?
So if you're outdoors, one of the good things to do is wear light-colored clothing, so that when you come back from your outdoor activity, ticks show up better on your light-colored clothing. So you can tell if you've got any on your body. Using an insect repellent such as DEET or Icardin, you can apply this to your skin. Some can be applied to clothing. You can also buy actually insect repellent infused clothing. Always make sure your clothing's able to take it to use to have this sprayed on it, so you don't want to ruin your clothing. When you get back from an outdoor activity, you can put your clothes in a hot dryer on hot cycle for a few minutes. that will kill off any ticks that you might have brought back to the house on your clothing. When you get back from your activities or when you before you go inside, do a tick check when you return. If possible, have somebody check parts of your body that you can't see. Also, if your pets are out with you, do a pet check. Make sure that your pets aren't bringing any ticks in with them. If you do find any ticks on your body, if they're fresh, they probably don't need to, they're probably not attached, so you can easily remove them. If they are attached, then there's information on our website how to pull a tick off. Take a quick shower when you get back from your outdoor activities. Don't just rely on the pressure of the water to knock any ticks off. Use a scrub brush or a face cloth or something like that. You can wash the ticks down the drain. That's one sure way of stopping them from becoming attached. I keep a brush at my back door. If I've been outside doing anything, I brush off my cuffs of my pants, brush off the tops of my shoes, brush off the cuffs of my sleeves on my clothing. Anything that I can brush, I will use it. Again, knocks off those free ticks before they become attached. As far as pets go, it's always good to talk to your vet about what you can do to have them protected from having ticks attached.
Dr. Lee, can you talk a little bit about Lyme disease transmission when a tick does bite you? Can you tell if you could have been infected?
Yeah, so transmission of these diseases depends on the length of time that the infected tick is attached. So I think people, because we've talked about this before at the HealthyNet, are familiar with Lyme disease. And so for both Lyme disease and babesiosis, typically a tick would need to be attached for about a day or longer to pass on an illness. For anaplasmosis, oftentimes, or the typical length of time quoted in the literature is about 12 hours. Not all the time is that the case, though, right? So keeping in mind that these are typical situations, what we typically see is not an absolute, as with much of life. And so the sooner you remove a tick, the less likely it is to cause disease. As well, we're not focusing so much on yet a different tick-borne disease, which is called powassan, which is a virus, because it's very rare, but that's one that can be spread within minutes or within an hour of the tick attaching. And so we know that the length of time for attachment is not necessarily sort of a black and white situation. Having said that, in most cases, 24 hours is the typical number, especially because Lyme disease remains the most common tick-borne disease in our region. And so that 24-hour is a useful rule of thumb. And if you've had a tick attached for longer than that, then you may have increased risk for Lyme disease in particular. As a transmission or a pathogen, you may need medication if that's the case, and so certainly talking to your healthcare provider about that is an important next step. We used to talk about ticks being fat or flat. That remains a generally useful rule of thumb, but keeping in mind again that ticks who are partially fed, which may still look flat, is not sort of a guarantee that there's no risk of transmission. Though, again, emphasizing that the greatest risk is going to be coming from those fat ticks that have been feeding for over 24 hours.
So, Andrew, is that why we used to bring ticks in for testing?
No, we didn't really bring ticks in for testing for diagnostic purposes for humans. A long time ago, when we were still establishing Lyme disease in our area and whether or not the ticks that actually carry Lyme disease were here, we used to have people submit ticks just to see what types of ticks they were, and to see what life stages they were. So we used the ticks to more determine whether or not we had actually black-legged ticks in our area. We've determined that long ago. Not only that they're here, but all their life cycles are here. So they're not just here by accident. They're living here and going through all their life cycles. So we don't, because we know that, we're not asking for people to submit ticks anymore. And submitting ticks for diagnostic purposes was never useful for determining whether or not a person was at higher risk of transmission. So that's why we don't do that anymore.
All right, Dr. Lee, can you tell us more about the symptoms to watch out for after a tick bite?
So for all of Lyme disease, anaplasmosis, and babesiosis, they are tick-borne febrile diseases, which is a fancy way of saying they all cause fever and the symptoms that are oftentimes associated with fever. So that would be headache, chills, sweats, fatigue, muscle, and joint pain. All of those are pretty common. Specific for Lyme disease, I think people are going to be well aware that there's a bullseye rash around the area of the tick bite. That is not something that happens classically with babesiosis or anaplasmosis. Having said that, we know that a certain percentage of ticks will transmit multiple diseases, right? So they may be they carrying multiple pathogens, and so if you have that bullseye rash, it's pretty classic for Lyme disease, but it doesn't necessarily say that there's not something else going on. Oftentimes, symptoms will appear within a few days to several weeks after the bite of an infected tick. Keeping in mind as well that ticks carrying no pathogens can cause a little bit of redness in and around the site where it bit, especially in the first day or two. And so, an initial rash at the site of the bite, just like any other bug bite, is not to say that that's transmission of a tick-borne illness either. Something to keep in mind, and we won't cover it today because there's only so much time, but Lyme disease, we know, as well as the other tick-borne diseases, can have long-term health effects. And so it's really important for people to take these precautions to prevent tick bites and also see their healthcare provider if they have any symptoms.
So, Andrew, in closing, how can we get more information about ticks and Lyme disease?
Well, we have some lots of good information available to the public. First of all, on our website, www.healthunit.org, on our insect bites and disease section. You can also give us a call at 1-800-660-5853 if you want to talk to somebody in person. You can email us at contact@healthunit.org. And of course, we have at LGL Health Unit for Facebook and Twitter, and finally at LGLHealthUnit.z on Instagram.
All sorts of ways to keep yourself up to speed. I know that we'll have another conversation about this in the coming months as well. As always, Dr. Lee, a pleasure to speak with you.
Always good to be here.
And the same can be said of you as well, Andrew. Good to talk to you.
Likewise, thanks so much.